Hey, a few weeks ago, I was listening to a sermon. Now I'm going to start my preaching. Okay, a few weeks ago, I was listening to a sermon by a pastor. He's passed away, but you know his stuff is still online. His name is Dr. Charles Stanley. Maybe you've heard of him. He's a huge pastor down in Atlanta, has a huge, huge church down there. And he was talking about the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits, but the fruit of the Spirit, and he was focusing on a particular fruit of the Spirit, patience, right? And he was talking about patience. It was really awesome. It was really, 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 really good. And one of the things that he said was, if you want to experience God's best in your life, you need to understand patience. And he began to talk a little bit more, and he said, okay, the challenge in that is the only way that you really understand God's best for you, you also need to be patient with other people. It was really, really, really good. I was inspired. I went out, you know, as soon as I was listening, I went out and I had to go to the store and I was driving. And I'm from New Jersey, and New Jersey drivers are a little bit more aggressive than anyone else in the country. But, and because most of y'all drive, and I'm speaking to many of y'all, y'all drive in the left lane, and, you know, the speed limit is 70, you're doing 55, and I just happened to be behind somebody, and I was so proud of myself because I didn't yell and do anything like that. I was just like, okay, all right, God, I got you. And so I just passed them, you know, in the middle lane, and I was just like, oh, yeah. And I just passed them and got over into the left lane and began to do my thing. And then I finally got to Walmart, and a lot of things happened in Walmart. And I'm not sure this happens to you as you're driving, trying to find a parking spot. There's sometimes these people that will walk in the middle and just like, yeah, whatever. And I'm just behind them, and I'm just getting frustrated, and I'm building, and I'm building, and I'm building. And then all of a sudden, this person ties their child's shoe right in the spot where I can park. And I'm saying, move, right? And I say it loud. Luckily, the window was up and the music is blaring. I always have my music blaring. And I'm just like, and I finally got into this spot and I just finally realized like God was trying to teach me a lesson. And I just totally missed it. 30 minutes ago, I was hearing about patience. Now I'm not showing a lot of patience whatsoever. And I couldn't see the connection. And the moment I was patting myself on the back, God kind of gave me another lesson to kind of teach me I have a lot of growth that needs to happen. And I believe this happens all the time. God is constantly at work, but we miss it because of our spiritual antennas maybe are not as high as they should be, or the noise of just life kind of interferes or drowns out the ability to hear from God. And let me just say this up front. Maybe you're new to church, or you haven't been to church in a while, or maybe you're just new to this whole God thing, but I just want to kind of just say this, and maybe you'll receive it, maybe you'll hear it. God is at work. In fact, God is always at work. He's always at work, and he's using everything possible to work in your life. And when we're able to understand this and maybe even see a little glimpse of that, maybe we will a little bit be more open to the work of God and celebrate him for that work and also be changed by that work. And on top of that, we will also see God use us to accomplish his work in the world. 2 weeks ago, we started this series called Jonah and the City, where we're looking at the letter appropriately named of Jonah, duh. And I know this is probably one of the most famous stories in all the Bible, and the people have problems with the stories, both Christians and even non-Christians, non-church people, they have a problem with this, and they just kind of dismiss this story as a fairy tale, because they will say, wait, you believe that Jonah got swallowed by a fish and survived, and he got puked up on a beach somewhere? And I'm like, yeah, I do, you know. And if you're a Christ follower, Jonah is the least of your problems, because we believe that God made everything out of nothing. He made the complexity of the human eye. He also made the strange-necked giraffe. This is what a giraffe looks like. Look how strange that is, right? If you really think about that. He also, one of my favorite animals of all time, he also made a platypus, right? And this is the platypus, and that's just strange, and that's weird. Mammal, fish, what in the world is this? And if you think that is strange, check out the proboscis monkey. That is one ugly monkey right there. I mean, God created that, right? It's strange. And not only does God create these strange animals and he's the creator of all things, we also believe that the leader of our faith, Jesus, died on the cross for the sins of the world. That is your sins and my sins and the sins in the past and sins in the future. And not only did he die, but he rose from the dead, and he offers forgiveness to all, but you've got to receive it. But that's what he's done. So Jonah isn't much of a stretch. Jonah ran from God and was swallowed up by a fish and amazingly survived and was vomited on the beach. And here's a point for you, and maybe you kind of ignore everything else, you forget everything else. I just want to say this, that God hasn't given up on Jonah. That's a powerful statement that God hasn't forgiven up on him. Even though Jonah kind of said no to God, God hasn't given up on Jonah. And can I tell you a secret? Lean in a little bit. Go ahead, lean in. God hasn't given up on you either. I'm not sure why I'm whispering that. I don't know. Maybe I should say this a little bit louder. God hasn't given up on you either. God hasn't given up on me. In fact, let's everyone say this. God hasn't given up on me. 1, 2, 3. God hasn't given up on me. Do you know how big that is? Do you know how magnanimous that is, that God loves you too much to let you go, that God, he pursues you, and everyone wants to be pursued. He pursues you, and he pursues you. He's like almost obsessed with us, with his pursuit, and maybe you're here. You've been running from God, and you've kind of been doing your own thing, and those things haven't really satisfied you anymore, and maybe you've come to that moment where you come to your senses, or better yet, maybe you've come to the end of yourself. It's a powerful statement. That statement actually shows up in a story that Jesus tells. He uses that illustration, and maybe you know this story. It's called the story of the prodigal son. Jesus says this about the son, that this Jewish man left his dad, left his family, and there's a whole bunch of other things going on there, but he finds himself feeding pigs. And if you understand Jewish culture, that's a big no-no with pork and pigs, right? And that's not kosher at all. He finds himself feeding pigs and actually longing to go home. He's longing for a second chance. I'm not sure if you're familiar about this, but there's another story in the Bible called the prodigal pig. You probably never heard of it. It's actually in the New Testament. Show up on your screen. It's 2 Peter. Pete is that guy that follows Jesus. He's really close to them. This is 2 Peter 2. It says, "And when people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and then get tangled up and enslaved by sin again, they are worse off than before." Dang, go on. It would be better if you never have known the way to righteousness than to know it and then reject the command they were given to live a holy life. They prove the truth of this proverb: a dog returns to its vomit, and another one says a washed pig returns to the mud. Here's the point with both the prodigal son and the prodigal pig. Both of them find themselves in the same place, in the pig's pen, but only one feels at home. You get that? Only one feels at home. I'm going all animal kingdom today, trust me. God wants to work, hear me on this, God wants to work in your life and get us from this pig pen to the place where we belong, but we have to be willing to let him work. So how do we actually let him work? Let's see, Jonah chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, turn there, it'll be on your screen. You could use the YouVersion app, go to that Linktree spot, and you can follow along. But we're in Jonah chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 1. "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." Remember, God came to Jonah the first time. Jonah said, "I might want to do this." He runs. Second time now. I love that. God, this is all about second chances, right? This is what he says in verse 2. "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. How big was the city? Look at the next sentence. It took 3 days to go through it. That means in order to go from one side of the city to the other, it was a 3-day walk. That's a huge city. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh would be overthrown. The first point, if you're a note taker, this is how God works. God works when I'm in the right place. He works when you're in the right place. Jonah, I mean, imagine this for a second. He's in this fish. He gets vomited up, and Jonah must have been a sight, right? All those gastric juices from the fish's stomach most likely kind of affected him. Remember, he's from the Middle East. Most likely his skin was bleached now, bleached white. It would have also removed all of his hair, head hair, eyebrows, eyelashes, arms, leg, everywhere. And on top of that, he stinks. He stinketh. Fish smell. Just imagine what fish puke smells like, right? So when the albino prophet shows up, people are listening. But Jonah is in the right place, and God uses it. So many of you know I wear these, some people call them cool, these interesting shirts. And one of the shirts I have just has pray on it, right? It just has pray with folded hands. You guys may have seen one of those. This last week, I tried out a coffee shop downtown, new coffee shop, a gravel and grind, or maybe I got a, or is it grind and gravel? Gravel and grind. I didn't go there for the longest time because I thought you had to bring a bike. It's a long story. I don't know. They do coffee and bikes. It's weird, but I guess it's, and it's packed. I'm meeting with someone there, and we're having a great conversation, and that person leaves, and I stay behind and do some work, and there was a group of ladies kind of like looking at me, and they weren't checking me out. They were looking at me. There's one lady, I had my ring on. There was one lady looking at me, and I was like, what's going on? So I get up, and I put my stuff where the coffee is, and I sit back down, and I'm just doing my work, and I look up, and I'm like, okay, do I have on my face? I got my phone out. I'm trying to look, and so on. And then finally, I get up, and I grab my stuff, and I begin to leave. As I walk out the door, get ready to get into my car, this lady says, excuse me, and I turned around. She says, no joke, this is crazy. She says, could you pray for me? And I was thinking to myself, I was like, what's going on? And I just said to her, I said, I'm not going to pray for you. How about I pray with you? And so we're out there in the parking lot. She tells me her story. She's here for the next 2 weeks, and she's visiting, you know, on break. And I just pray. I'm praying with this young lady. Found out her name and just praying with her. I stopped praying. All of a sudden, she's crying. And you know, me seeing a woman cry, I'm a sucker. I start crying, and I'm like, okay, all right, we gotta stop this crying stuff. And I give out a card. I have these cards always with me. I invite her to church. When she looks at the card, and you know if you had anybody come to church, you're like, I might be busy. And so I said, oh, you know, if you could come, I know you're in town for the next 2 weeks. If you come, that'd be great. And so I began to get in my car, and then she's getting ready. I said, hold on a second. Whatever plans you have, how about you cancel them? Cancel them and come. We have two campuses. She said, I've heard about this church before. Two campuses, you go to this one or you go to the other one. Pastor Steve, he's preaching over there. Hopefully he does a good job. I'm not sure if she's going to go to that one, this one, whatever. But I just felt like God just saying to do that. And sometimes it's just us being in the right place. That's all it takes to be in the right place at the right time. I don't know what God's going to do. That's not my job. God just said, okay, you just need to pray for the schoolman. And sometimes it's a location. Sometimes it's a state of mind. Sometimes we have to change our attitudes. It maybe God will bring you to a physical location. Maybe God is trying to work something in your own heart. Maybe you've got some marriage issues or relationship issues or work issues or friendship issues, and God's been knocking on your door talking about you need to forgive them, and they're like, I'm only going to forgive them if they come and say sorry. God's like, they don't need to say sorry. You just need to forgive. That's hard because too often we want like God to kind of part the Red Sea, and sometimes God just does that. Sometimes God's just like, I'm just going to bring you here. I'm going to keep you here for a while until you can do two things, trust and obey. For those who have spent any time in the church, I'm talking about old school church. There was a famous song called Trust and Obey. Some of you remember, trust and obey, for there's no, I mean, I'm doing this because I can't sing. It's an old song, right? Deuteronomy 4:40 says this. Check this out. It says, if you obey all the decrees and commands I'm giving you today, all will be well with you and your children. I'm giving you these instructions so you will enjoy. Everyone say enjoy. You will enjoy a long life in the land the Lord your God is giving you for all time. God is working in your life and is as complicated and as simple as trusting and obeying him. And if you do that, God will do some amazing, amazing things. Verse 4. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. I just need to be honest with you. As I was reading this, I was just thinking to myself, this has to be the worst sermon of all time. I mean, this is awful. I mean, I think about this. This is bad. It makes all my bad sermons look great. I mean, 9 words, no hope, no love, no forgiveness, no opportunity, just judgment. It is almost as he is saying, hey, I hope you guys enjoy the smoking section because y'all all going to hell. That's essentially what he's saying. And yet, look what it says in verse 5. The Ninevites believed God. They didn't believe Jonah. They believed God. So much so, look what it says in the next sentence. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Sackcloth was a garment made of goat's hair, and the way you wore it is instead of wearing the normal way, wear the goat's hair on the outside, for this fasting and prayer time, you actually wore it, the hair was touching your skin. It was a sign of repentance. And so it says in verse 6, when Jonah and his sad and pathetic warning reached the king of Nineveh. I mean, just imagine this for a second. This blows my mind. Jonah, he's got 3 days to get to the end of the city. On day one, he preaches this sad, pathetic message. All of a sudden, the people believe, so much so, they say, we need to fast. We need to fast and we need to pray. And not only do we do that, not only does that affect the whole city, somehow, some way, the king, aka the mayor, the governor, the president, hears this and says, okay, something is going on. This is amazing to me. And look what he does. It says, when Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robe, covered himself with that sackcloth, and sat in the dust. Sitting in the dust was a declaration, I'm nothing without God because God created man out of dust. I'm but dust. Okay, you can clip that, okay? I'm just but dust. Verse 7. This is the proclamation he issued. So, I mean, get this. This is so crazy to me. So you got this guy. He goes out. He preaches a sad message. People hear it. They believe it. They say, let's go fast. Not only did he fast, the president hears it, and then he puts out a decree. By the decree of the king, it says in verse 7, and his nobles, do not let the people or the animals, like really, animals? Do not let the people or the animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. This guy is all in. But let people and the animals be covered with the sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God, not a God, not one of other gods, but the one and true God, capital G God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Here it is, verse 9. Who knows? God may. It wasn't a guarantee. They understood. He understood. Okay, just because we do this doesn't mean that God's not going to still judge us because we actually deserve it. Who knows? God may yet relent. And with compassion from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. I just look at this passage. I'm like, what is going on? Point number 2, God works behind the scenes. Sometimes we think that the things are happening because of us. I have to realize, I look myself in the mirror like every morning, I have to realize how narcissistic I am. We all are. We think the world revolves around us. We think that God, I can only use you, but God's like, I want to use you. It's not about us. It's about God, you know, in us and through us, using some of those small, even sad, pathetic things that we kind of give towards God. God says, I can still use you. I look at this. It is obvious that Jonah doesn't want to be there. And yet, it's obvious that Jonah really didn't care. And yet, it's obvious that Jonah wasn't all in. And yet, it's obvious that Jonah had a really, really bad attitude. And yet, it is obvious that he didn't put a lot of effort into this. And yet, and even if Jonah was all in, gung-ho, like full of passion and fire and excitement, it's not about Jonah. It ain't about me, and it ain't about you. And this is so comforting to me because it takes so much pressure off. It's not about me, thank God. I don't have to have this weight on my shoulders. All I have to do is trust and obey. Tammy and I were talking about this story, and we were wondering what caused the Ninevites to kind of turn and kind of have this reaction, this message, and kind of change and repent. There's a couple things going on behind the scenes important to note. There was two plagues that came through this area before then, and about 1,000 to 2,000 people died. There was also a total solar eclipse at this time, which was like a bad omen for those people. And on top of that, there was a tribe up north. They were kind of small. It was a small group. They were kind of causing problems. They weren't big enough yet. They were kind of annoyance. And just a side note, 100 years after this, that small group of tribe, they become the Babylonian Empire, and they come in 100 years later and kind of wipe them all out. But at this time, they're just annoyance. And on top of that, lastly, the Assyrians, the people of Nineveh, they worship a god named Dagon. Not Dagon, but Dagon. Dagon was a fish god. And so when they hear the story of Jonah, who is vomited out of the fish, that's a big deal to them. All this was impossible for Jonah to know or to be aware of or even to control. All he had to do was trust and obey. In fact, God goes to Jonah the first time. Hey, I got a message for you. You've been sitting on the bench. I want to use you. I want you to talk to these people because they're ready. Jonah had no idea how ready they were. He had no idea. And part of our walk, your walk and my walk, if we trust God and we actually obey him, he will do the impossible because God is constantly working behind the scenes. He's constantly working behind the scenes. God wanted to conquer the hearts of the Ninevites, these people, and instead of sending a large army to kind of get them in place, he sends them just one person. But the key is to understand this. The only way that Jonah ever saw how God was working behind the scenes, trust and obey. We may never see the mighty works of God, right? Because sometimes we're too busy in the driver's seat. I mean, we like to drive. We like to have control. We like to think that we are an expert. Anybody here know those people that are always the expert of everything? Some of y'all said, mm-hmm. Some of y'all looked. I saw some of y'all look to your wife while your wife was sitting there. Like, make sure she didn't see you. Just saying. Free marriage advice. Trust and obey. Verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and he did not bring on them destruction he had threatened. Point number 3. God works so that you and I can know him. God is working in your life, working in other people's life, working in a situation because ultimately he wants us to actually know him. Many people will look at this and say, man, see, God's gotta threaten them. God's gotta, you know, put fear into them. And that's one perspective. But I like to look at this from a different perspective, that the people of Ninevites are probably like, God, you think so much of us, you sent somebody to give us a warning? Wow. What amazing grace. God, you love me so much that you cared for me so much and you keep on pursuing me over and over and over again. Do you know what I did last night? You know what I did last weekend? You know all the things in my closet? Yeah. I know all that stuff. I'm still going to pursue you. But sometimes we always look at the negative side and we have a perspective of a negative side, but then we also have to look at, there's also that positive side. And that God loves us and cares for us that much. And he sent the guy who gets vomited on a beach after being swallowed by a fish to give him this amazing message. It was a sad message, but God was able to still work through it anyway. All the things that I've continued to do in my life, one of the things I have learned, the more I learn about God, the more he's able to show me, he doesn't show me everything. I begin to see him working, and there are times where I don't see him working at all, and I'm like, God, I just got to trust you. I don't know about this. I don't know how this is going to work. Because in my mind, and I'm a guy, you know, us guys, we like to fix things. We like to make sure we have everything in order. We like to do certain things. And I'm weird like that. I'm just weird. Like I like to have things in order, so I don't have to go back and or kind of like, okay, I gotta fix this. And that's just me, except when I'm on vacation. When I'm on vacation, it's my wife that likes to do an order. She's over here. I'm not even look at her. So she likes order. And so we go on vacation. And so we've been married for 23 years. And she's finally learned, and I've learned, there's a give and take here. Okay, she will plan out the whole weekend and the whole week. And me being the guy, I was like, it took us like maybe like 15 years to finally get this, that when I'm on vacation, I just need one day I'm doing nothing. Right, fellas? Just one. Like, what's nothing? Absolutely nothing. Like, I'm doing absolutely nothing. So she now has planned certain things. Like, okay, here's your nothing day. I'm like, yes. All other 10 days, I'm doing something, but I get one nothing day. And that's where I'm just like, yes, I'm just kind of like in that focus and mode. I don't have to worry about anything. I'm not even sure why I bring this story up, but I'm just kind of in that mode. But the rest of my life, I like to have some kind of order. And particularly when it's God, I'm like, God, why can't you kind of plan everything out for me? God's like, you got to trust me. You got to just trust and obey. Romans 2:4 should be on your screen. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering? Maybe it's not on the screen. Just hear this. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long sufferings, not knowing the goodness of God, that it leads you to repentance? Repentance is a word that is rarely used in our culture today. It has a negative rap, but it's actually a beautiful word. Repentance in Hebrew is the word teshuvah. Teshuvah means to change your direction or to get off the wrong track and get on God's track. Because when we're on the wrong track, God uses circumstances. In fact, God uses everything at his disposal to get us on the right track. I've been there. I didn't like God using everything. And real repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry. Real repentance is like, I own it. I'm wrong. Just saying that out loud, that's hard. I'm wrong. In fact, let's practice that. Everyone practice that. I know. This is going to be hard for y'all. This is like walking on water. I'm wrong. Ready? 1, 2, 3. See, you can do it. It's hard. I'm wrong. Oh, yeah. Spouses, don't count that, okay? Don't count that against that person, okay? I'm wrong. And God's like, yeah, I know. And sometimes we need to get to that place and admitting that I'm not perfect, admitting that I am wrong, admitting that I'm not always correct, I'm not always right, instead I messed up. That is what grace is, God at work. And maybe it's you and your marriage, and you want God to transform your marriage. It starts with repentance. Maybe you shouldn't position yourself to be right all the time or less wrong than the other person, you know? I was less wrong than you. That's ridiculous. Or maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a friendship that you need to offer, forget, you need to ask for forgiveness, or maybe you just need to repent of certain things in your life. That's where God's like, okay, I'm ready. Now that we repented, now let's get on the same page. I want you to do something, but you got to trust and obey. James 4:10 talks about how we need to humble ourselves in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. Takes great humility. So maybe this is your moment. Maybe today is the moment. Maybe today is where you stop and you stop trying to be right all the time. Maybe today is the day where you embrace forgiveness. Maybe today is when you embrace the grace of God and you just trust and obey. I'm going to invite our worship team to come on up. On the seat, hopefully you would have saw one of these cards and a cool looking pencil. A cool pencil, golf pencil, card, golf pencil, card. I want to challenge you with something with this card. If you take this card out, anytime I preach or I'm trying to put something together, I always try to figure out, so now what? That was an okay message, so now what? We read scripture, we heard some passionate statements, we heard some challenge, maybe I feel guilty, but now what? I believe that each and every one of you, no matter where you're at in your spiritual journey, that God's asking you to trust him with something. Maybe something big, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your relationship, maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's like, I want you to go and talk to this person. I want you to go on one of our impact missions trips, or I want you to serve somewhere. Whatever it is, God has challenged you to trust him. And you've created every excuse under the sun. You know how I know? Because I do it. I just want you, and you're not going to pass this out to anybody. I'm not going to collect these. This is going to be for you. I just want you to take a moment. Just write down on one side. You get to fold it up, put it in your pocket. What is that? Just pick one. There could be 10, okay? Just that one thing that you need to start trusting God in. Just one. Relationship, finances, whatever it is, I guarantee you God is asking you to trust him. So maybe it's I need to start serving with youth. I maybe serve on the children's. I need to come early and help with the setup team, or I need to come early and pray with the prayer team. Just one thing. I'm writing mine down right now. Typically, it's the thing that you're always worried about. Typical thing is always the stuff that you're talking about. You're wrestling with. Maybe, again, it's a marriage. You can put whatever you want. I just put one thing down here. I'm not going to ask you to pass these anywhere or post them anything. You don't even have to sign them, you know. As you fold the card, right? As you fold the card, seal it. You can fold it in half. You can fold it up. But on one of the side, I want you to write the word trust. You know what's coming on the other side. Flip it on over. Obey. Not eBay. Obey. Put it in your pocket. Heavenly Father, it's easy to write those things down. It's easy to come up with those things in our mind because we've been thinking about them already. I pray, Lord God, that we would hand over those things and trust you. Allow you to be in control of it. That's step one. It's a hard step, but it's a little bit easier than the next step. The next step is actually to obey. Whether it is stop buying stuff on Amazon, whether it is I need to go to this person and just say, man, I love you, I care for you, you know, I forgive you, or would you forgive me? Or maybe it's a relationship that is not God-honoring. Whew, I'm getting real now. Maybe it's like, we can't do this anymore. We got to stop. I want to honor God. It's hard. I don't want to be alone. But God, I figure that you have a better and bigger desire. So I thank you, Lord God, what you have in store for us. Individually and collectively as a church, but more importantly, individually, as we live this life, and we try to live this life that honors you, that we would just simply trust and obey. In your precious name, amen.